Hello and welcome to Who Wins Podcast, where each episode we pit pop culture icons against each other in a brutal fight to the death. I am Chris Bolton. With me, as always, my partner in pugilism, Mr. Mark Williams.
Hello.
And this episode is going to be interesting. We're looking at two combatants who I'm going to put my hand straight up here and say I don't really know a huge amount about. So this is good, but you know, we've got some plans for this show moving forward. We're closing in on our centenary episode, so we've got some plans, and we felt like these are two combatants that we kind of needed to get out of the way first, because they're pretty big. Like, even though I don't know about them, like in terms of pop culture, they are pretty big, and we have had a Wizards and Battle Royale before, and we excluded these because we were like, what do we know about these?
They were kind of too powerful compared to some of the others as well.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, they've been on the list for a fucking long time, and we've kind of avoided them because we know fuck all about them, so that kind of tells you a lot as well.
Yeah, so this episode, we are pitting Dumbledore against Gandalf.
This one's going to be tricky because a couple of reasons, but... one being that, with the exception of a very short period at the end of Order of the Phoenix, you never actually see Dumbledore fight.
You don't, but I do know...
There's allusions to stuff. There's the Wizarding duel with Grindelwald and stuff like that. So there's that in there.
And I know, but again, I know slightly more about Dumbledore than Gandalf as well. I think you don't see him fight or read about him fighting, but... Yeah. He's a little bit Yoda, right? You get the impression that, like, you don't have to see it.
Yeah, he's the fucking dude.
Yeah, like, his aura is enough. Like, you get that if the dude throws down, like, you're in trouble, basically.
Yeah.
So,
So, I mean, there's that to it. But, yeah, I mean, with the exception of where he arrives after the bulk of the fighting at the Ministry at the end of Book 5, you don't really get combat, because the only other time you would have it was the end of Book 6, where that didn't go so well because he didn't actually fight. The other problem being, and I wasn't overly familiar with this, I had a vague inkling, but I've been doing some reading this evening. Gandalf is fucking invincible.
Invincible? Or
his body can die, but his spirit just keeps on going. He is actually immortal of spirit.
He's immortal of spirit, so it's not even like it's a Highlander type of thing where he's like, no. There can be only
his
one.
His body can die, but they just bring it back. In Fellowship, when he's fighting the Balrog and he fights it for like 8 days, whatever the fuck it is, he dies.
Yeah, and then comes back as a different character.
So his spirit is then returned to the White Council.
Right.
And he comes back as Gandalf the White.
So he literally is Jesus then? Because he felt very Jesus, but he literally is Jesus then.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's going to be problematic, because how do you kill something that won't die?
Well, we had that with Father Christmas anyway, didn't we? And we decided you didn't kill him, you cut his head off, and it was kept in a safe. So he wasn't, for all intents and purposes, dead. Now, there's probably a similar way around this. Like, if the body isn't dead, but it's on the brink of death, like in a comatose state, for example.
You petrify it, maybe.
Yeah, then his... Well, there you go. Yeah, use something like a crucifying curse or something like that, and just get him all kind of... Yeah. There's ways, if it comes to that. I think there's ways. We won't let that stop us, because we don't have a plan B.
When have we ever had a plan B? 90-odd episodes in, when have we ever had a plan B?
I've never got a plan A. So
this is fair.
I don't fucking know. okay, so, like, cards on the table... Right, if you're super fans of either of these characters, and we know there are lots of you out there, then I'm just going to apologize in advance.
Completely. Yeah, we will offend one, if not both, sets of fans.
Yeah, like, I know, I kind of know who these characters are, and I think, like, let's set the ground rule out first. Then I think we have to do the amalgam thing, right? We're not taking a movie adaption or a book adaption. We're taking the amalgam of the character, right? So I know who these characters are. I don't think either of us have been shy in expressing our opinion on Lord of the Rings on multiple occasions on this show, have we? I've seen the films twice at most. I may only seen some of them once, but I've seen them twice at most. I cannot bring myself to sit through them. I have tried reading the book. I don't know even how many times, and I can never get through even the first third. I can't do it. It bores me to tears.
I'm the same. I've seen I think I saw all three films in the cinema. And then I have like the director's cut version of all, which is like 4.5 fucking hours long each. And I may have watched each of those twice at most, probably only once. Which, considering they're 20 years old now, is quite annoying the amount the DVDs would have cost.
Yeah, they came with like collectible shit though, didn't they? I had those editions as well. You had like bookends with one of them.
Yeah, I've got that shit. So I mean that in itself, you think, okay, well, fair enough. But yeah, in terms of the actual visual, you know, the actual media you were buying, I've not got my money's worth. Same with the book. I started reading it. I got stuck in Mexico in a hurricane. I read all the books I had, and my cousin had read all the books he had, so we swapped. Mm-hmm. And I got about halfway through Fellowship and wanted to slash my fucking wrists.
Yeah,
I was that bored. I've not really engaged with Lord of the Rings at all. Sorry, super fan listeners, I just don't get it. It's not really my thing. As we said a lot on Game of Moans, fantasy is not my oeuvre. So I'm far less familiar. More acquainted with Dumbledore. I read them when, I think, by the time the third book came out, I was catching up. So I've read them as they came out.
Same.
Seen all the films multiple times. I've reread them with the kids. Watched the films multiple times with the kids. So I'm kind of far more familiar
there as well. You're better versed than me as well then. So I, similarly to you, I read the first three books. I wouldn't say behind on. I don't think I was massively behind on Azkaban, but I kind of read them all as Azkaban was coming out, so that by the time we got to book four, I was current. Read all the Harry Potter books and enjoyed them a great deal. I've never ever reread them. I was going to. I really was. I was quite fancying another read through, but a couple of things have kind of ruined it for me. We won't avoid the elephant in the room. I don't think we can, but I'll just circle back around to that. I don't want to be hipster about this, but like, those films absolutely pissed on it for me because they're terrible. And again, I'm sorry if I offend anybody. They're fucking awful. They are terrible adaptions. They don't even follow the core story very well. There's massive swathes of the book missing. So
I mean, that was always the thing with the first film, wasn't it? I think Columbus made a very true adaptation. It was like 8 hours long, and that's of the shortest fucking book because he shot everything.
Yeah,
and to the point where I don't understand why Warner Brothers haven't allowed him to release a director's cut, because people would buy it.
Well, I mean, there's going to be this television adaptation now, isn't there? So
yes,
but it's too little, too late for me because those films, like I have seen them all, of course I have, but they became such a fucking huge, like it's that generation Star Wars, right? And I feel happy for them that they've got that, but like, even, you know, regular listeners will know I'm a big theme park nerd and I spend a lot of time in Orlando as well. But like, I'll wander around Wizarding World and I'll just be like, yeah, this is cool. But it just doesn't do anything for me anymore. And it was the films that did that. So I did feel like having another read through of the books, and there's a little bit of me that might be slightly interested in this TV thing, but I just can't get past the J.K. Rowling of it all now. I mean, she's been on the warpath again this week. Like, I'm always a big advocate for, you know, you can love the art and hate the artist, you know, that's all absolutely fine, but she is just something else. This woman is horrendous. And I cannot bring myself to just have anything to do with anything she's ever touched.
I'm not sure what she's been up to this week. I mean, I'm largely the same. I've always been the same, is that the art and the artist aren't the same thing.
Yeah, totally.
And I think I've been able to, and it's something that me and Tori were talking about this morning, actually, because I knew this was coming up, and I figured this conversation would come up, that, it's having that, you know, being able to separate the art and the artist is important, because it's the same with a lot of the filmmakers. I like Woody Allen being a prime example. Great, very big fan of his work. Fucking human garbage.
Yeah.
But his work is something that I absolutely gravitate towards. I wouldn't want to be in a position where I say, actually, yeah, I'm not going to watch Annie Hall ever again because he's a fucking scumbag. He's always been a scumbag.
Mm. Yeah, see,
and that shouldn't detract. And I think that's where I try to come to it. And I think that if being able to separate the two is the only way I can sort of go through that process. So I have reread the books. I say reread, I listened to them because I spent a lot of time in the car. So I listened to them probably last year or the year before, the Stephen Fry versions. I agree with the films aren't great. There's massive chunks missing. They completely miss out key elements. but the kids have enjoyed them, and so I've sort of got into it that way. But yeah, I try not to think about that side of it, because I don't want recollections I have of enjoying the product sullied by other things.
I wish I could do the same. I mean, I'm the same as you. I like Woody Allen too. Again, regular listeners will know that I worship the fucking ground Joss Whedon walks on. Unfortunately, guy's a piece of shit. We know he is, but his work is phenomenal. You can't take away from that. His work is phenomenal, right? So I can hate him as a fucking piece of garbage, absolutely, but I can't deny his genius, right? The problem is, for most of these people, for a Joss Whedon, for a Woody Allen, even if you want to go for a Harvey Weinstein, right? These people, they get found out, they get cancelled, they shut down, and they go away. Mm. They go away. All right. Woody Allen kept on working, but he, you know, his public persona just goes away. And so you can make that separation. The problem with J.K. Rowling is she just keeps doubling down over and over and over, and she will not let it go. And the hate that woman spews is so diametrically opposed to what's in these books that I can't put the two together. I can't do it. So yeah, it's a real, and it's a me thing. I acknowledge that it's a me thing, and that's my problem, and I'm denying myself, and I get that, but I just can't do it. But anyway, that's all by the by. I've put my flag in the sand there, so come after me if you want.
What was wrong with talking? We've got to balance this out. What was wrong with
it? Probably. Wasn't he an alcoholic? Or am I just made that up?
What's wrong with that?
Oh, no, nothing, but I think he was quite a nasty one. I may have made that up. I should stop talking. But that was a roundabout way to get us here. But yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I read something in the news the other day before we move on to the actual point of this podcast.
There's no point. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah. So I can't remember the name of the Amazon series. Is it Rings of Power, the Amazon series?
I think so. I did, again, no interest in it whatsoever.
No, none whatsoever. I did, however, follow a story very recently where somebody tried to sue Amazon and the writers for ripping off a piece of fan fiction he'd written. So he said, basically they've copied my story. All the stuff I've done, they've ripped it off. The Tolkien estate sued the living fuck out of him, saying you didn't have permission to write, let alone publish anything based on this property. Therefore, we're going to take the shirt off your back. And they fucking wiped the floor with him.
Well,
I thought was fucking hilarious. Yeah. He really did shoot himself in the foot.
Literally shot himself in the foot. Yeah.
If he hadn't gone after Amazon going, yeah, you owe me money for something that I had fuck all to do with.
Yeah.
He'd been fine. He'd got away with it. He'd carry on making like 30 pence a book for everyone he sold.
Yeah.
And he'd have been fine. But no, he went after fucking tens of millions of dollars, and the family went, hang on, who the fuck are you? We'll take all of that.
Fucking
and then some.
Idiot. Fucking idiot. I guess he thought he'd shoot his shot. Okay, so yeah, all of that was just a roundabout way to give you our apologies, really, listeners. It took us best part of 15
minutes. Yeah, for knowing fuck all we're talking about.
I do think we know a bit about Dumbledore. It's just for me, it's not, I wouldn't say it's current, if you know what I mean. It's probably been, Christ, probably 10, 15 years at this point since I had any real sort of current. How long ago did the last book come out? Probably about 15 years ago, right? Got to be.
2007?
Yeah, so 14.
I mean, the last film was 2011, so.
17, 18, 19, 20. I got to do maths.
More than 15 years.
Yeah, so a long time ago, right? So, yeah, my knowledge isn't current, but it's still better than my knowledge. So here's what I know about Gandalf, right? Old wizard, was grey, came back as white because, like, fucked up Jesus. A Balrog and shit, and then he came back. Very, very powerful, very wise, kind of a leader figure, but actually, a bit like you were saying about Dumbledore, not really one to throw down, more one to kind of guide.
Yeah, I mean, so the stuff I've been reading the last of hour or so, it talks about, and there's lots of backstory comes in The Hobbit, which again, not read, not seen, not interested. And it talks about this, lots of comparisons to sort of Odin's sort of wanderer form, where he spent time, you know, wandering the Nine Realms and all that sort of stuff, and, you know, picking up other cultures and learning about them. And there's a lot of that in sort of the backstory of Gandalf, in his grey form. So he goes off, he learns, he encourages. Got a thing for fire, which I entirely support.
Fine.
Got to be honest.
Yeah.
love a bit of fire. Cool. Or not, as case may be.
Yeah, well, it's, you know what I mean.
Yeah, just glad I didn't say it. So yeah, so there's a lot written around the character of Gandalf in terms of where he's come from, the fact that there's a period between The Hobbit and Fellowship of the Ring where, again, he goes off to learn about Sauron and the rings and this, that, and the other. So there's a lot more made of it in text than there is in the films. And as we said, my knowledge comes from the films because I couldn't do the fucking book. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so there's a lot of backstory there. You get a lot more backstory around Gandalf, and they really do build him up. And from what I've read, he's massively overpowered compared to everything else.
So maybe this should be Gandalf versus like Superman or Jesus rather than Gandalf versus Dumbledore.
Although to be fair, I cannot take it seriously because he fights a Balrog, which is the thing from Street Fighter.
See, I go there with it as well all the time.
Yeah. So I was reading it going, which one was Balrog?
Yeah. Well, it depends which version of Street Fighter you're playing. For us, Balrog was M. Bison, but for the rest of the world, they switch. So for us, Balrog is the boxer because we couldn't have M. Bison because of Mike Tyson.
You might go and bite somebody.
Yeah.
If they're lucky.
Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, yeah, I always go to Street Fighter as well.
Yeah. That's where my brain always goes when I hear Balrog.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So he's kind of stately, is what we're saying. Then why he's wandering, like kind of stately.
And it does kind of fit with how they present Dumbledore as well, especially if you go into the Fantastic Beasts movies. I think I've seen them all once.
Read the book, which was about like that. It's no good. We're on a podcast, but it's super, super thin. And it came out for, I want to say it was for Comic Relief they brought it out. And it cost $1.99 or something.
Yeah, I think they've expanded it since to tie in with the films. But they basically tell the story, all the lore you get in Harry Potter about Dumbledore, about Grindelwald and their friendship and all the rest of it. I think it's all in book 6, isn't it?
Yes.
So all of that, that's what you get in the first, in the Fantastic Beasts films, except they're told through the lens of Newt Scrimmage instead.
Okay.
So, yeah, they have their place. Yes, they're canon, but the bit I don't understand is how in 40 years he went from being Jude Law to Richard Harris. Really doesn't make any fucking sense.
I mean, it's the Star Wars problem, innit? You know? Yeah. What 10 years transforms you from fucking Ewan McGregor into Alec Guinness? Like, because there's two sons, apparently. Who fucking knows, right? Who cares? Fucking.
Yeah, you just go with it, don't you?
All make believe. So
my point being, a lot of the stuff you get about Gandalf being quite stately and being quite wise and well traveled and educated, there's very much a parallel with Dumbledore.
Okay. So the one thing I will say, though, is like just to, like in terms of their character then. So Gandalf, very, very powerful, obviously, as you say, possibly overpowered. But I think one of the key differences for me between these two is that, yes, with like Dumbledore, as we think of him as like the figurehead then, as the headmaster, has got that kind of cool, calm and collected. Like he's almost like, especially by the time you get to book 6 and things start to sort of unravel, you start to realize that actually he's kind of been a puppet master all along. Like he's never really showed his hand, but he's kind of been behind everything, pulling all of these strings and getting all his chess pieces in a line. So very wise, very stately. But there was always, even at that point, like you say, you never really see him fight, but there was always that thing of like, no, this is the fucking guy. Like if he's gonna roll his sleeves up, watch the fuck out. And like when you do get little bits, like where you do dig into his past and stuff like that, like you get the impression that if he's got to get his hands dirty, like he absolutely will. I think he's more willing to just roll his sleeves up and get down in the muck than Gandalf.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying there is right. He's very much in control of things. And even before book one starts, so he's very much orchestrating things and he's very much in control of things. And you would almost compare him to a sort of pre-war general.
Yes, definitely.
He's very much working on the strategy. He's getting people. He's getting the pieces into place. He's getting everything ready because he knows there's a war coming. Mm. So he knows he needs foot soldiers. He knows he needs lieutenants. He needs figureheads. He needs people who are going to inspire and lead and all the rest. He knows that, but also he knows where the battles are and he knows that if he can do things to stop the war from happening, like going off and fighting Horcruxes, he's going to do that himself, because the people he's got underneath him are too important. If it goes tits up,
yeah,
he still needs them in place, and that's why he goes off and does those things and weakens himself and all the rest of it. So yeah, you get that impression he's that very much that hands on general. Whereas Gandalf, certainly when he's in the Grey form in Fellowship, it's like he's almost like a fucking team leader, like a sergeant. He's yeah. leading them straight into battle. He's the one, and he's the one who, you know, he fucking throws himself on the grenade to let them get away.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting thinking of it in that way, because their characters are very similar and their actions are very similar, but the positions they occupy within the sort of the teams they're running is very, very different.
Yeah, it is. And it's odd, isn't it? Because you're right, like Gandalf like literally does like throw him, like he takes the bullet, he takes the Balrog on and collapses the bridge and stuff.
Yeah.
But you kind of get the impression that, you know, Dumbledore would have taken the Batman route to all of that. Like, before going on that quest, he would have thought, right, well, what would happen if we encountered a Balrog, and what do I need to pack to make sure we can make our way
around?
Where's
my Balrog repellent spray?
Exactly. It's almost that, isn't it? And like, if it absolutely came down to it and there was no other option, then he'd initiate the Nightfall Protocol. But, you get the impression that he's got that kind of always two moves ahead mentality, which Gandalf doesn't seem like. Yes, as you say, very, very wise. You know, he's done the whole wandering around thing then, but that certainly in the film incarnation anyway that I can remember, that doesn't really come through. If anything,
he's just
a bit of a cantankerous old shit, to be honest.
Yeah, he is until he sort of takes his white form, in which case he becomes Christopher Lee Light.
Yeah. I guess that's the most important thing here to start with then, is he grey or is he white?
Well, yeah, this is it, isn't it? Because I think in terms of longevity, he spends longer in Lord of the Rings, certainly, to take out The Hobbit and all sorts of, in the Lord of the Rings book trilogy or film trilogy, he spends more time as Gandalf the White than he does as Gandalf the Grey.
Okay.
However, I think he's far more prominent within the Fellowship as Gandalf the Grey. Because at that point, he's still, now, if we compare where he is to where Gandalf is, where Dumbledore is himself setting things up and putting things in motion, he does all that while he's Gandalf the Grey. And he, by the time he comes back, the group is splintered, it's fractured, and actually he's lost half of them, doesn't know where the fuck Frodo and Sam have gone, and he rejoins Gimli and Legolas because they're the easiest ones to find.
Yeah, I think maybe we start with him as Grey anyway then, because that's not his final form, right? So you can start with Grey, and then, you know, if Dumbledore's smart enough to kind of keep him, whatever he's going to do, keep him comatose or whatever in Grey form, then Gandalf the White never becomes a problem, does it? But if he goes in for a kill, then we allow Gandalf a second life, I guess, then, as Gandalf the White.
Yeah, I mean, presumably there's a Gandalf the Platinum and Gandalf the Diamond and fucking whatever after that as well.
Yeah, there probably is. I mean,
because, you know, if he's an immortal spirit, then they just put him in another body.
Or maybe he just goes back to his home planet to live out the rest of his life after, like, saving Earth from pollution and stuff.
Maybe.
who knows? Okay, well, let's get down to it then. I think, right, here's the key thing. Dumbledore, if he's going to catch, because this is going to be a battle of fucking spells, right? Unless they disarm each other, which I think they both probably want to try and do. If they disarm each other, then they can start throwing punches, right? But
I don't know, because I think I know this. They started working on it, I think it was in Order of the Phoenix, whereby they started doing spell. They didn't have to do the incantation with the spell. Mm. It was a bit like Thor, a bit like Thor. The hammer just sort of channels the power.
Yeah.
Same. Now that's what a wand does. The magic is there anyway. You don't need a wand to do it. And I think that's the same on both sides. So I think that disarming each other doesn't really make a difference anyway.
Okay, but so
because the command of the magics is going to be the command of the magics anyway.
So it just goes kind of wild magic.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I still think there's probably benefit in disarming if they can.
Oh yeah, completely. Yeah.
Because obviously you could get blood. But yeah, what I was getting at is that I think for Dumbledore to pop off a spell, then there's almost like, especially when you see like wizard duels as well, there's a quick draw element to it, right? It's get the wand out, point it, shout the fucking incantation, and then out pops the spell.
Yeah, but I mean that was done in, I think it was book five. You don't have to shout the incantation. That's the point of it. You can do it without shouting, because it kind of gives the game away.
Well, yeah.
So it was kind of pointless. So you have the duels. So I'm going to shout out what I'm doing. Well, I'm just going to fucking counter that, aren't I? If I know what you're doing, I'm going to do something else.
So why have them do that at all then?
I don't know. It was definitely established that they don't need to do that.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it, because your knowledge is more current than mine. Because to me, that just seems pointless of them ever having to shout anything at all, ever.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's supposed to be some way of, you know, especially with child wizards and witches, a way of getting them to focus their attention until they learn to do it. Because by the time you get to the end of book five, when they're in the ministry and they're having the fight with the Death Eaters, it's all silent because there's no... The room is like a vacuum effect. There's no noise in it, so all you get is sort of the cracking of the wands, and they do it in the film as well. So you don't, you know, you when you have Bellatrix killing Sirius, she doesn't say anything. She just whips off a spell and he falls backwards.
Yeah, but in which case then, why the whole thing about Wingardium Leviosa? What?
Because it's funny to make Rupert Grint look like a cunt.
But let's not pick Harry Potter apart, because we'll be here all night upset people, right? Because mad. So
the way I've sort of thought of it, and not that I've given it any degree of thought other than the last 5 minutes, but I would have always assumed it's some sort of way of focusing them while they're training, while they're young and learning to do stuff. No, they learn the action. It's a way of focusing, so they know that if they're making something levitate, it's Wingardium Leviosa, and it's the action, the swish and the flick. But actually, by saying the words, they associate that action with that spell they're doing. By the time they're proficient, they then don't need to do that. It's just they do the swish and the flick without thinking about it.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's take that.
I may be giving them far more credit than I think they deserve.
I think you are. I think you are. I think that was probably just a case of a little bit of writing as you go along and thinking, oh, this actually doesn't make much sense that they shout fucking magic words out at each other, does it? Particularly, I think, especially when you're writing a book. Because when you're doing it on film, I can kind of understand, right? You don't necessarily need to do it still, but I can kind of understand the audio-visual impact of it. But I bet you, by the time she's got the books fucking five... J.K. Rowling is so fucking sick of writing Wingardium Leviosa. Like, she's just like, do you know what? No, they don't have to say it. It's fine. Just whatever.
But certainly the Death Eaters didn't. When they're doing stuff, they don't say the incantation. They just do it.
Yeah, okay, fine. So let's say he doesn't have to then. Because that was going to be the one thing I was going to say, that Gandalf's probably got over him. Because as far as I understand Gandalf's magic, at least, it's more innate. Because he's able to talk, for instance, like "you shall not pass" while he's in the middle of casting a spell, right? So if there's no verbal element and they can just pop spells off, then it's like initially at least it's going to come down to who's got the most kind of raw magic power, I guess. Who's quickest to summon it? Yeah. And what tricks have they got in their arsenal?
Yeah, and how easy it is to dispel.
Well, yeah. This is
because there's got to be an element of some protection and some not necessarily dispelling, but certainly deflecting. There's going to be if there's some sort of duel going on, there will be some defensive work going on as well.
And see, this is where I think Dumbledore instantly has an upper hand. Gandalf may be like super overpowered and stuff, and we've got to work on like what we know of the characters, right? Rather than like, oh well, theoretically, like, yeah, we could get into theoretically, but what we know and what we see, we never really see Gandalf in a kind of magic gunfight, to my knowledge anyway.
No, not that I remember, no.
Whereas we know for a fact that Dumbledore's had many and is the dude.
And let's be fair, he's a fucking headmaster of magic school. You're telling me he hasn't got eyes in the back of his fucking head and knows every trick in the book?
Well, plus coming back to the whole general thing, right? So you kind of got to feel he's getting the jump on Gandalf. Like, he's popping the first spell off, like, without a shadow of a doubt. So it's what that spell is. Like, does he go straight in with, like, some sort of petrifying curse and not even fuck around? Or does he give the warning shot?
I don't know, because I think... the problem with petrification is that if it misses, then you're kind of on the back foot, aren't you? So you want to go for something that's going to possibly something that's going to wound first, because if your Petrine, once they're wounded, it's going to be harder for them to recover, and you can keep on applying that to keep him unconscious.
Okay, so what we're saying is something like a fucking fireball, or like,
well, maybe not a fireball because Gandalf is no fan of fire, but something like Rictus Emperor, the one that Thieves or Malfoy, which cut him fucking balls to bone and whatever else, and nearly killed him in book six.
So just cut him up, basically. Just basically. Cut a bitch.
Do that, because that's good, because
he's going to glass
physical
him in
injury,
like
yeah, pretty much. Like a physical injury, it's gonna take a toll. So even if he can heal himself, he can do something to recover from that. That's going to take an action. That's going to take him time to do. So that's going to slow him down. At which point, that's when you petrify him. That's when you knock him out. And you just keep him down.
Okay, so he's going to have to be very careful then, because obviously, if we're talking about like opening arteries and stuff like that, we don't want to kill him, because if he gets overboard and he kills him, then he's just going to fucking Doctor Who this shit and regenerate into Gandalf the fucking rainbow colored unicorn or whatever. So, okay,
I think that was the sequel.
Yeah. Okay, so bunch of paper cuts, basically. I mean, if you're smart about it, if he's carrying his fucking staff thing, which he always is, what you do is you go for the fucking wrists, don't you? Make him drop the thing.
Yeah, that's it. Because then he can't focus. If he's using
because that's
to
his magic focus, right?
Yeah.
As we understand it, listeners, please, if we're wrong, tell us. But that's how the rules of this fight are going, because that's how we both understand it, right?
Yeah. And let's be fair, if you tell us any different, by the time you've told us, this is already live and we've moved on, so, yeah.
Yeah, but whatever. We do care. Maybe we'll issue an apology. Tell us if we're wrong.
That's a very big maybe.
I've apologized on this show before. Two or three times, at least.
Is it this one?
Oh, yeah, well, I've definitely apologized on this show. We are... Have I apologized? I've apologized on SMPD as well.
Oh,
yeah.
We've definitely apologized on that one.
Yeah, yeah, we apologize. It's like a lot. Yeah, it's fine. So you make him drop his staff. I mean, for me, then the next thing you got to do is just fucking get the staff away, like telekinesis or something. Just like yoink, get the fucking thing off him.
Which again, I mean, there's a spell for that, which they established right in the first film. I can't remember what it is.
I mean, it's a spell for everything, right? It's like the fucking app store. There's an app for that. There'll be a spell for that, right? These are essentially the two most powerful wizards, as far as we know, in popular culture. That's why they're fighting each other. So
yeah, and that was kind of the thing that I was thinking is in terms of these two fighting is that I guess probably because of the world we see them occupying, but because Dumbledore's it's a more modern world, and we sort of see from the Harry Potter books and the films, and then into the Fantastic Beasts film as well. It's set more contemporaneously in a world that sits parallel to ours. Mm-hmm. So it's understandable. You have cars and you have buses and you have all this stuff. Whereas Lord of the Rings is set in an entirely fantastical world where it's entirely removed, and the magical creatures are part of them. Orcs and things roam the fucking streets and all that. It's a far different world. It's far more removed, and I think that because of that, it's far easier to see Dumbledore doing a spell that's going to be effective that we can recognize effectively. Whereas Gandalf's are going to be far more, I don't know, I think they're going to be a bit more elemental.
Wanky is the word you're looking for.
I was trying to be nice. I don't want to apologize.
Wanky, high fantasy. That's what you... No, but
yes, entirely that.
You're right. Yeah, there's going to be a more elemental purpose. You are right. I get what you mean. And I think most listeners will know what we mean as well. I do think there's actually mileage in that as well, though, besides upsetting the Lord of the Rings fans. I think there's, character-wise, I think there's something to be said for, again, Dumbledore being a more contemporary figure. And, just the modern world as we know it, and the horrors that he would have seen being inflicted and lived through, and inflicted himself in some cases, and almost inflicted. Let's not forget, he was almost responsible for genocide. Like, he was
almost.
He was going to wipe out all the Muggles. Like, that was a thing that he was going to do. So, like I said, he can go places. Whereas, there's war in Middle Earth and stuff like that, but they're all running around with sticks and swords and stuff, and bows and arrows hitting each other. Nobody's dropping a fucking nuke or using chemical warfare, or so
let's be fair. Even if you look at their antagonists, you know, Voldemort is there and he wants to wipe out all the Muggles and the half-breeds and whatever else. That's not what Sauron's up to. Sauron just wants to take over the fucking world. He'll take whoever's in it. He just wants to take it over.
Yeah, he's a classic fucking 80s cartoon villain, isn't he? He's like Skeletor.
He's fucking Skeletor,
level.
Yeah, has he is. It.
He's Skeletor level of ambition. I'm going to take over the world. Why? I don't know. Like,
I just am.
Because I'm evil, all right?
Yeah. Because I can, now fucking do it.
Yeah.
Whereas Voldemort as a villain is far more evolved. He has a purpose, but he has a plan. And he knows he wants to rule the Wizarding World, but he also wants to achieve that by getting rid of anybody who's not like him.
Yeah,
there's a very sort of Hitler-esque allegory to it, which is quite funny because we paired Hitler and Thanos, and we could have got Voldemort in there quite easily as well.
Well, we had Voldemort and
we killed him. The Emperor, though.
Yeah,
like episode 2 or something like that.
It was our second episode, I think. Yeah, I think it was.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, in terms of, you know, if magic can be anything, then if we're allowing these spells to be anything, because there's a spell for that, what I'm saying is that Dumbledore's toolbox is larger.
Yes.
You know, he's...
Because he's experienced more.
Because he's experienced more. He's seen a nuke, so if he wants to conjure one, he can. Because he knows what it is. Whereas Gandalf can't do that, because all he knows is fucking bows and arrows.
And fire.
But the elements. Like, he doesn't know advanced warfare, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. He ain't splitting no atoms.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Unless you use the argument that he's an elemental being, as you say, or whatever, he's fucking... But we can't. We've got to go with what we know.
Yeah.
So he gets the first hit in, and he gets the fucking rod, right? So he's going to magic the rod. So we got... He's got two options now, isn't he? Like, he either breaks the rod, or he dual wields. Yeah, I got a feeling motherfucker's going to dual wield.
I do too. Logic would say break the fucking thing in half.
Of course it would. But
take the magic away, throw the stick in the fucking sea, and I've done with it.
But that's
not as cool.
It's not as cool. And knowing what we know about Dumbledore as well, and the way he was in
the past, an arrogant motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if he can look good whilst killing this motherfucker, he's going to want to do it, right?
Yeah.
So he's got now two magical weapons. See, now at this point, you're talking about keeping somebody on the ground to petrify him. At this point now, he can literally be shooting, because if no words need to be spoken, he can be petrifying with one whilst fucking shooting shit with the other. I guess. Is that how it works?
I don't know, because the only query comes...
Are they concentration spells? Let's use D&D logic.
Yeah, well that, but also, is it the same type of magic? So if he's using his wand for one, is Gandalf's staff going to respond in the same way to the same command? Does it work that way?
I mean, if it's just because that's what we're saying, right? Is this a channel? It's a way to focus the magical energy. And that's definitely how wands are explained in Harry Potter as well. Because, like, they can be made from all sorts of things.
Yeah.
It's just that people vibrate.
It's a conduit, isn't it?
So, yeah, some people vibe better with one material than another, right? Because it's about channeling that magical... It's kyber crystals, basically, right?
Yes.
Not that I'm accusing any... believe plagiarism, right? Not, but let's be fair.
That wasn't canon at the time.
Let's not be fair. It's not like George Lucas has ever had a fucking original idea either, is it? So,
but sacrilege.
That's basically what it is, right? It's kyber crystals, right? You go and find the one that's attuned to you, and then that's why your saber's going to be that color, and then Star Wars fans don't come at me either. I'm aware that different color sabers signify different ranks within the order. I know,
yes.
Right? But right back at the start, it was all, it signified. And bleeding crystal. Right, I know. Let's not get into it. It was a throwaway comment.
There's a whole thing, none of which is fucking canon. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's just move on. And also, Darth Vader's not involved here, and nor is the Emperor, so we'll move on.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Yeah, I guess that's the move then. If that's what he's going to do, he can go for it here.
And
I don't think he'd fuck around either.
No, I don't either.
I think he would absolutely end it as quickly as he could.
Well, yeah, because I think that for as arrogant as he is, I think he would realise that the situation he's in, the longer it goes on for, the more chance he has of fucking it up or Gandalf finding a way back into it.
Hmm. Now it can't. So, yeah, it can't be this easy though, can it? Like, I think
I don't know.
I think we've genuinely like I think we've got a genuine reason for him getting the first hit in. Like as we said, he is that militaristic general type. He's gonna get the jump, I think.
Yeah.
So I think we can allow that. I also think even if it was just the two of them having fucking pistols at dawn, because of the way magic works in the Harry Potter universe and because of the way those duels work, like he's even, even if it wasn't a case of he's going to ambush him or whatever, he's going to be the fastest gun in the West.
Well, yeah, because if your implement to channel magic is a very lightweight, very small wand, as opposed to a giant fucking staff come walking stick.
Yeah, and just,
it's going to be easier to wield.
And also, just because by nature of, like, because Gandalf hasn't been involved in those magical duels, is what I'm saying, as we were saying, whereas he has, and he's got the experience, because that happens all the time in the Wizarding world, he's got the itchy trigger finger, right? He's gonna smell it come in, and he's just going to get the fucking wand out and pop a shot off straight away.
Yeah.
So I think either way, he gets the first hit. And then if he's smart enough to do what you say, then unless Gandalf can like has got enough presence of mind after he's been like basically severely wounded is what we're saying,
maimed and disarmed,
unless he's got the presence of mind to stop that staff being dragged away.
But again, is he going to be able to do it if he's been severely physically
injured?
I don't think
so. He's still in pain. So now his only shot is, you know, whatever these two spells are that Dumbledore's going to throw at him. He's going to have to put up some sort of like protective field or something, or counter them.
Yeah.
But again, the whole point is that we're saying he's been so gravely injured to the point of like,
being able to be magically disarmed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to have the strength to do that. He shouldn't have the strength to sustain that.
He's only got one move, isn't he? If he wants to carry this fight on, he's only actually got one move.
That's to let Dumbledore kill him.
He's got to kill himself, hasn't he? Because Dumbledore's not going to kill him. He's looking to petrify. So he's got to commit hara-kiri.
But does... again, this is where the knowledge of the world would be handy. It's like, you know, Christian heaven. If you kill yourself, can you still go? If you kill yourself, can you come back as a white wizard?
Here's the thing, right? I don't know. I didn't even know he was fucking immortal until you told me at the start of this podcast, right? I thought he was like literally just he came back from the dead once. I didn't realize it was like a whole.
Yeah, like, he's like an immortal spirit, and it's just his body. No, it's something to do with the White Council and Galadriel, and that was Cate Blanchett, wasn't it?
Think so.
Yeah. Not Liv. What was Liv Tyler?
Hot.
I don't fucking know. Yeah. It's all to do with the sort of, you know, effectively their Council of Elders and whatever the fuck that, you know. Part of his thing is that, you know, he died, wasn't she? Yes, that's right, yeah. So his spirit then went back to the White Council and they put him in a new body, effectively.
And I didn't even Google that. I reached way back into the recesses of
I wanted to say Arwen, but I didn't think it was right.
You might be right and I might be wrong.
Ooh, I don't know.
It's an A when.
It's anyway. Something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of them.
Yeah.
So I think that, I don't know. I'm trying to let
Gandalf have a better crack at this because I know people are going to be pissed, right? But I don't think he can. I'm sorry.
Given the situation we found him in, and no, let's be fair, we both came into this quite upfront that, you know, where our feelings are on both properties, but we've gone into it fairly.
Yeah.
And we found ourselves in this situation, I don't see a way out of it without, as you say, without killing himself. But if he kills himself, I don't know if he goes to heaven and he gets to come back again. You know, you might go to Wizard Hell and be like doing fucking kids' parties or something.
She was Arwen.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, well done. That's the thing. Right, whatever way you slice it, right, I think in the narrative of the films, because what you told me about the spirits, that is not explained in the films. I'm 100% confident about that. They just assume.
No, I don't remember
any
of that.
Or if it is, it's not explained well, right? Because I'm pretty sure I would have fucking remembered that about this character.
Well, yeah, it's kind of an important point, isn't it, as to how he came back.
Yeah, so if you just take it from the narrative of, like, I always assumed he got resurrected, like, it's kind of a similar thing anyway that you've just actually explained. I always assumed it's because, like, he committed sacrifice, essentially, so he is, like, I always saw him as, like, a Jesus figure.
He was worthy.
Figure. Yeah, I always saw him as a Jesus figure, so he rises back up, he gets the right to, like, live again and stuff, because he's a worthy soul, yeah. I mean, your explanation is similar, right? In that he's this fucking spiritual, but it's kind of at the will of a council then. So if he end it, then at the very least...
He ain't worthy no more.
You're not worthy no more. And at the very least, that skews that, right? Because it stops him becoming a noble spirit if he's created the... If he's committed the greatest sin, right? So then surely he... becomes dark, doesn't he, if he comes back at all?
I don't know if he comes back at all.
What I'm saying is, if he does,
presumably he's coming back.
He's going to be fucking twisted, right?
Yeah, going to be slightly off,
or maybe even he comes back as a fucking mortal, right? I don't know.
Yeah,
but either way,
in which case that's easy to fucking see him off.
Either way, I think you know, both of us being experts on spirituality as we are, and Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and all things high fantasy and magic, we're clearly qualified to have this discussion.
Absolutely.
I think we're in agreement that, like, yeah, his only way out is to kill himself. But if he does so, I think all he's doing is releasing himself, because he's his idea is perhaps he's going to kill himself and come back, but that's not going to work. All he's actually going to do is release himself from this pain that he's going to be kept in by Dumbledore. And actually, in a really fucking twisted way, to the point where I'm actually wondering if this episode should have trigger warnings now, that's probably how Dumbledore can kill him. You know, you started this off saying, like, I don't know if we can do this because he's immortal.
Superman 3 it.
Yeah.
Make him mortal.
He's got to kill himself, hasn't he? Dumbledore doesn't have to kill him. He's just got to make him take his own life.
He's just going to end up dead.
Which in and of itself will probably twist Dumbledore beyond all recognition as well, but...
Yeah, but he hasn't... It's Disney death, lost. Isn't it? He hasn't... so... Yeah. It's Disney death, though, isn't it? He hasn't struck the fatal blow.
No.
He hasn't killed him. He's just died as a result of the fight.
Yeah. He's just put him in a position where there's only one way out.
Yeah. And it ain't tapping.
I do think that's it, you know.
I think you might be right.
Because even, right, like I said, I know people are going to be pissed about this, right? But even if the fight went on a bit, and as we say, like, let's say they were both tapped out, no magic anymore, right? Let's say it came down to fists. You're absolutely giving that to Dumbledore. As we said, he can roll his fucking sleeves up. You know he can. Yeah. Like, he'll roll his sleeves up and beat the shit out again. Absolutely he will.
Yeah.
Even just the way they're both described physically, if you don't look at the movie versions of them, you'll be, you know, you'll be swayed by the actors, right? If you read the way they're described.
But even then, I'd give it to Richard Harris over Ian McKellen.
Yeah, I would as well, to be fair. But I think... This is going to sound weird, right? Because now we know the film versions. But I always... One of the first things I thought when we saw Dumbledore in the movies is, fuck me, he's old. Because he isn't described as necessarily that old in the books.
No, he's got a big grey beard, but he's not described as being fucking 900 years old.
No. No, he's not. And he's always described as having, like, the really colourful robes and stuff, which he doesn't necessarily have in the films. He looks a bit more dour because they try to make him darker. So
but not only that, in the films, they try to make him more sort of authoritative and a bit more sort of stately as the headmaster.
Yes, yeah.
And it's more in keeping with the traditional school and all this sort of shit. Whereas, it's always the flamboyant robes and the shit like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So you get the impression of somebody that's actually quite youthful and exuberant anyway. So you feel like he's probably even got more spring in his step and a little bit more flight about him if it does come down to a fight. So,
yeah, I think so.
I think he's got it, you know. I think he's smart enough to think his way around the whole immortal problem. I think he's spry enough to get one over on Gandalf.
Yeah, I think you're right as well. I think he's very much going to have the Batman approach, which is, right, what do I need to know going into this?
Yeah.
What do I need to know? What is he? how do I beat him? Oh, fuck, right, I can't kill him because he's immortal. If I kill him, he's just going to come back. Right, so how do I manage? He's going to know every fucking move before Gandalf makes it.
Yeah, and bearing in mind, by proxy, at least, I know he didn't do the deed himself, but by proxy, he has killed the most powerful wizard in existence within his universe. Like, he was behind that. But he engineered the whole... Whilst he may not have delivered the blows,
yeah,
he engineered that. So, yeah. Like, he's absolutely got the fucking mental capacity to do it. You're right. It's, yeah, it's definitely Dumbledore, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I can't see a way around it. Yeah, cue the fucking internet.
You know, come at us, honestly, open invite. We've been honest with you guys. We obviously have a clear bias one way, right? Because that's just the one we know. And I don't even know him that well, so it's not like I give a fuck, to be honest. But
I got other shit to do. I know, but once we finish recording this, I forget about it and move on to the next one, so I don't really give a fuck either, to be honest.
But I'm interested. Like, tell us where we're wrong. Tell us where we're wrong.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
And, you know, if we won't correct the record. This is
the record.
The winner moving forward of this battle is Dumbledore. But
yeah,
if you've got another opinion, we'll read it out.
We'll
debate. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hit us up. Tell us how we're wrong. Or tell us why we're right. You know, that would be nice for a change.
Yeah, we're fucking changing. <right? Yeah. laughs> but yeah, absolutely. I'd love to get the listener feedback on this, and I think this is possibly the most contentious one we've done for quite a while. So yeah, hit us up, let us know. On Twitter at ddpodcastnet. You can also go to our website, ddpodcast.net, where you can also pick up our previous episodes and our other shows as well. Wherever you get your podcasts from, subscribe, leave a message, we'll batch as best we can. Until next time.
See you later.